Picture a 21-year-old political activist, fresh off organizing campus protests, standing outside a convenience store fuming with righteous indignation. He'd just been wrongfully ejected, and instead of filing a complaint, he made a declaration that would change his life. We could run a better store than these folks. That moment of outrage became the spark for a $7.5 billion empire, not because of business acumen or inherited wealth, but because of a simple insight that most people miss. Success doesn't require appealing to everyone. You just need to become the singularly best choice for someone specific. That undergraduate store generated $60,000 in profit its first year, proving a fundamental truth: competitive advantage is everything. But here's the twist. Being a better alternative isn't conceptually complicated. It's just extraordinarily difficult to execute. This distinction would guide every subsequent decision, from transforming French bakeries into lunch destinations to reimagining casual dining entirely. After Harvard Business School and corporate roles, a crisis emerged, not of failure, but of direction. What kind of job do I want? Kept yielding unsatisfying answers. The breakthrough came from reframing. What do I want my life to be about? This shift unlocked both business success and personal fulfillment. Consider three categories: means, ends, and byproducts, indirect outcomes. The most valuable things, happiness, self-respect, profits, are byproducts. Chase them directly and they evaporate. Focus on the right ends and they appear naturally. In business, profits aren't the goal, but the result of genuine competitive advantage. When customers choose you over competitors, profits follow inevitably. This guided Panera's IPO approach, a moment feeling less like celebration, more like foreboding. The financial logic was sound: eliminate debt, secure capital, reward investors. Yet marrying thousands of shareholders with quarterly expectations felt wrong. The greatest threat to successful companies is themselves, perfectly designed for yesterday's solutions while tomorrow's needs go unmet. A hidden St. Louis bakery in a strip mall generated sales rivaling high-visibility urban locations. The secret wasn't market research. It was genuine empathy through observation. Inside, fresh bread aromas, warm loaves and baskets, and Tiffany lamps created homey warmth. Customers chatted like family, happily waiting 10-15 minutes without complaint. This sparked a 2-year West Coast cafe listening tour, guided by the insight, "The future has already arrived, it just isn't evenly distributed." Instead of studying average performers, the focus went to businesses pushing extremes. A pattern emerged: decommodification. Consumers rejecting mass-marketed products for specialty alternatives. But it went deeper. People weren't just seeking special products, they wanted to feel special, in a world where they increasingly didn't. A new consumer was emerging, one whose food choices asserted individuality, not just filled stomachs. The opportunity was clear: create elevated experiences built around artisan bread that made people feel respected. Though the term didn't exist yet, this was the birth of fast casual, a sector that would transform American dining. On a Caribbean beach in Christmas 1996, relaxation proved impossible. Panera Bread showed double-digit same-store sales gains with national potential, yet remained the smallest division. Aban Pan, the firstborn child of nearly two decades, was flatlining, devouring capital with negative sales. The brutal math: insufficient capital to revitalize Aban Pan and grow Panera simultaneously. When a friend asked, "What if Panera owned Aban Pan instead?" the truth emerged. If I had any guts, I'd sell everything else and bet on Panera. Leadership demands choices. You can do anything, but not everything. Steve Jobs asked his design chief daily, "How many times did you say no today?" Despite fierce board resistance, three divisions went up for sale in April 1997, what analysts called a bet-your-job decision. Two grueling years of failed deals followed before Aban Pan sold for $78 million. That closing day ranked among the saddest, surrendering part of oneself. But without giving Panera the best shot, facing oneself in the mirror would become impossible. When making choices, prioritize the three T's: time, talent, and treasury. How you allocate these limited resources determines what your life looks like in the rearview mirror. After 2 years studying West Coast cafes, the vision needed a way to ensure thousands could execute it precisely. The answer was Concept Essence, an emotional blueprint defining what makes us special to our target guest. Labor Day weekend 1995 brought 16-hour days refining every word, followed by 9 months of testing. The result was a four-page document serving as both definition and sales tool, forcing precision while aligning execution. A strong concept essence functions like a constitution, articulating timeless principles while allowing evolution. It should offer 80 to 85% certainty about your future identity. At Panera's height, thousands of bakery cafes existed, but in reality, there was one cafe done correctly, replicated thousands of times. That original concept essence remained the North Star for nearly two decades, creating $7.5 billion in value through disciplined growth, balanced franchising and company ownership, concentric store development, and leveraging supply chain efficiencies to build expansion confidence. McDonald's executives had mastered operations, but knew surprisingly little about food and customer experience. They'd perfected delivery while abandoning discovery. Every organization needs both: discovery, understanding customer needs, and delivery, efficient operations. As companies grow, delivery muscle strengthens while discovery atrophies. The language of delivery, prove it to me, drowns out discovery. Imagine if. The CEO's critical role is protecting discovery from bureaucracy demanding efficient delivery. Innovation requires disciplined process. Discover what matters through observation, prototype solutions, then execute through planning. This thinking led to offering free Wi-Fi in 2001 when most used dial-up. Executives feared freeloaders, but the opportunity was clear. Unlike Starbucks with limited seating, Panera had capacity outside peak hours. Building the country's largest industrial-strength Wi-Fi network was expensive and difficult, but it positioned Panera as a gathering place for the emerging nomadic workforce. The gamble succeeded, with non-peak business reaching approximately 30% of sales. Is this sandwich worth the pain of getting it? That question during retirement exposed everything. The desire friction ratio, how much customers want something versus how hard it is to obtain, determines success. By summer 2012, growing sales created unsustainable friction, demanding digital kiosks and transformed production systems. Fall 2013 brought brutal honesty. Ron, you're full of shit. Competitive advantage was leaking as fast food copied at lower prices while specialists niched with focused offerings. The concept essence, revolutionary in the mid-90s, had dated. Research revealed 20% of customers wanted both delicious and healthy food. Two words emerged: craveable wellness. The transformation tested courage through sleepless nights checking dawn sales figures. In dark moments, I'd rather die than break the promise that was Panera. By April 2017, a $7.5 billion purchase agreement materialized. 6 years later, deep engagement continues as Cava chairman, recently completing a $4 billion IPO, plus guiding Tate, Life Alive, and Level 99. As Springsteen sings, "I'm working on a dream." But meaning isn't in the dream, it's the work itself. Your life isn't measured by what you accumulate, but by what you create that matters.